constantly mentioning Christ's second coming. It is a predominant theme in Scripture. And our last lesson, the one we're looking at today, is going to give us some spiritual challenges concerning His coming. The Bible says about the second coming of Christ, "Be ye also ready." That is our command. "Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh." Now, ready doesn't mean just physically. It doesn't mean we're prepared physically. It means we're prepared spiritually. And folks, to our shame, can I say this? We are not prepared spiritually for the second coming of Christ. We want to think that we are, and some of us are trying maybe more than the average person, but none of us are really ready for the second coming because it's not in our mind the way it should be and ought to be. And so the Bible is going to give us some challenges for His return, challenges considering being spiritually ready. We've said this before. This has been the theme of these studies, and I'm going to say this one last time as we have this last lesson. Bible prophecy is not given to satisfy our curiosity, but to sanctify our conduct. All right? Bible prophecy is not given to satisfy our curiosity. There are prophecy conferences and Book of Revelation teachings and books written, commentaries on the Book of Revelation, and people will, not, I don't know if it happens as much now as it did back maybe in the 70s and 80s, but people would flock from one prophecy conference to another, from one book on prophecy to another. Tim LaHaye and Jenkins made a whole bunch of money on all these books all about prophecy, and that's not necessarily wrong, but a lot of folks just wanted to have it and know it so they could know what was coming, just to satisfy their curiosity, not to sanctify their conduct. And what the Bible emphasizes is that knowing these things that are going to shortly come to pass, what manner of men should we ought to be? How should we be living our lives if we really believe Jesus Christ is coming back? And so our last lesson here is where the Bible gives us an exhortation or challenge in view of the second coming of Christ. The challenges for His return. The first one we find in Luke chapter 21 and verse number 34. Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. And here the Bible says, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." All right, here is the challenge for precaution, number one in our outline this morning. The challenge for precaution. Precaution. All right, He's telling us to take heed that we be not caught unawares, all right? That's the precaution they were given. Now, the context is the second coming. Look back, if you would, at verse number 25. And we've studied this in our study before. "And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh." All right, this is speaking without a doubt about the second coming of Christ. Now I would remind you, and if you're with us in our Sunday night Bible studies, this is so good, the connection, that when we're reading that Luke chapter 1, when we're reading here, we're reading not about the rapture, but about the revelation. Again, understanding the two parts of the second coming. There's His coming for the church. There's His coming for the nation of Israel. And when we're reading the Gospels, all right, if you're with us on Sunday nights, if we're reading the Gospels, which second coming is He talking about? It's not the church, because the church is not the focus of the Gospels. The nation of Israel is. So this coming is not talking about the rapture for the church. It's talking about the second coming for the nation of Israel. And He says in verse 29, "And He spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree." Now if you know your Bible prophecy and the parables, the fig tree is a picture of the nation of Israel. So this whole context is talking not about the rapture, but about the revelation. So we have to keep that in mind and understand that first of all. Now secondly, let me say, not all the Bible is written to us, but all the Bible is written for us. We can take these precautions that are intended for that revelation and apply them to the rapture. We also should take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon. Now that day, in context, is the second coming of Christ in Revelation 19. But that day for you and I, practically speaking, we're not going to be here for that one, so the one we're watching for is the catching away of the church. Again, not the context. That's not to us, but it's for us. And that's a wonderful thing about the Bible. All things are written for our learning, for our admonition, but not to us. So, again, that carries over to what we're studying on Sunday night. So, understanding verse 34, then, the context of it is that second coming, that Revelation 19. That battle of Armageddon, that Lord coming back with 10,000 of His saints. When we keep that in focus in here, it opens up a lot more Scripture for us. When we misapply it to a wrong second coming, then it kind of gets fuzzy for us. So understand that, but let's also make that application. So we're talking about the second coming of Christ. Notice in the challenge for precaution, number one, the precept. The precept. The precept means the teaching. It means the introduction. Pre, of course, means the beginning, the preamble to the Constitution. The precept. And these words are given, take heed to yourselves. Got to do a study, or I've preached a sermon, I've done it before, on all the things the Bible tells us to take heed to. Those words, take heed, take heed, take heed, those are good words. That's something the Bible is emphasizing that we need to pay special attention to. And here it says, take heed to yourselves, lest you, at any time, your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. All right? Take heed to yourselves. Why? Because we have a tendency, it's our nature, to be careless. Now, we want to think we're the exception, but it's our tendency to be careless. It's like this. Here's what we do. We come to the church. We're going to a ball game in Cleveland. We say, be here at a certain time. And 15 minutes after, you're not here. Well, you're not coming. We're going to leave without you. You might have got hindered. You might have had a breakdown in the car. You might have had something. But a quarter after, sorry, we're gone. A lot of us are like that with the Lord. Well, He didn't show up. So we just move on. And we lose the concept. We look forward then and don't remember that He's promised He's coming and we're supposed to be looking for that. We just kind of move on with life. It's a natural tendency. That's why in Peter, one of those said, where is the promise of His coming? Where is it? We don't say the same thing verbally, but we say things by our lives many times. When we're yielded and tempted to sin, When we do questionable things, and I'm not talking about wicked things, but we do some different things that you know, we just, in a different light, if you know, like the kid with the cookie jar, if in a different light we saw the coming of the Lord, we would say no to some things. That's what the Bible's saying. We need to take heed to ourselves, waiting and watching, but nothing's happened, so we quit waiting and we quit watching. Notice who said this, take heed to yourselves, it was the Lord. And I don't want to say that what Paul wrote isn't important or what Timothy wrote isn't important, but this is the Lord speaking. And the Lord says to us, take heed to yourselves. Who is He speaking to? He's talking to His disciples. He's talking to His followers. He's not talking to the world. The world today has no concept that the Lord's coming back. They're speeding toward hell like a freight train. And they have no idea. It doesn't matter what newscast you watch. When they're telling you, here's what's going to happen in the next year. Here's what's going to happen in the future. Not a one of them is going to say the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. It's not in their wheelhouse. It's not in their comfort zone. So nobody talks about it. So the Lord doesn't expect the world to be conscious of it. But you and I as believers, He says, hey, you want to talk about what's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what God wants us to take heed to and remember. As believers, remember that He's coming back. So the precept for our precaution is take heed to yourselves. Number two, the particulars. And here's where the Word of God is so rich. It always gives us details. It always gives us the particulars. God never gives us a command and then leaves it empty after that. He gives us a command and He gives us details. And too many times we don't pay attention to the details. The particulars, He says, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Notice this. Lest at any time your hearts. You know where He says the problem is? The heart. The heart of the problem is always a problem with the heart. We can control people's conduct. We can control our language, but we can't control the heart. Our heart is what drives us. What we put in is what comes out. And it's not just what we put in on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's what we put in on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And the Bible says that one reason we need to take heed is because our hearts are being overcharged. Now, overcharge is not like a battery being overcharged. Overcharge means burdened. It means weighed down. And the reason a believer is not looking for the second coming is because they're getting weighed down with the things of this life, the things of this world. It is hard to find in our day a spiritually minded person. You and I ought to desire to be that, a spiritually minded person. That doesn't mean that we can't talk about the weather, we can't talk about sports, or we can't talk about this politics. That doesn't mean we can't, but it means that we're not overly charged with those things. You want to know who's overcharged with those things? Get on Facebook and watch the posts and see what the predominant weight and concern and worry is. And the Bible says, lest your hearts be overcharged. And that's the problem. The problem is the heart. The overburdening of the heart for things that are really not important. You and I weighing our priorities. One of the things at the judgment seat of Christ is going to be shocking to us is when the Lord shows us where our priorities were. Things that we don't recognize because they're not necessarily wrong, they're not sinful, but He's going to show us in our life where our priorities were. And so the Lord is saying, take heed lest your hearts be overcharged, overburdened, weighed down, more than it can handle. Nobody wants that, but it happens when we're not putting things in proper perspective. The particulars, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with, number one, surfeiting. All right? Letter A, that's carnality. Carnality. Lest our hearts be overcharged, overburdened with surfeiting. The word surfeiting is not a common word we use. It means giving yourselves to the appetites of the flesh. Now, I'll give you a moment to write that down. That's what that means. Surfeiting means giving yourselves over to the appetites of the flesh. Now, that can be sinful. That can be drinking or smoking or cussing or whatever it is. But it can also be not sinful. The appetites of the flesh, just the desires of the flesh that are not necessarily in line with the desires of God. So the Bible says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting. Our problem today is most people have no self-control. Most people have no self-control. Can't say no. Back in the 70s when I was in high school, trombone player had the big, just say no to drugs. That was the big theme back in the day. Just say no. Well, people have given up saying no. Now they just say, well, how much is too much? A little bit doesn't hurt. We've moved from just saying no to just saying how much. Christians will say that about alcohol. There's a shocking thing. Well, it's not wrong to drink. It's just when a little bit becomes too much. They just can't say no. You and I, you know what? You know the best way to learn to say no to your Bible? You know what the Bible tells you to do to learn how to say no to your flesh? Now, you're not going to like this, so prepare yourself. You want to learn how to say no to the appetites of the flesh? Fast. That's the biblical way, isn't it? Fasting. Don't we read about that over and over again in the Bible? Fasting. That's a lost art in the church today. We don't fast anymore. And I've heard people say, well, I did a breakfast fast. Well, that means you just skip breakfast and wait until lunch. But I mean, that happens by accident to me a lot of times. That's not a fast. A fast is denying your flesh of something. And the more times we practice denying our flesh, the better off we are. Now, I'm not telling you to go on a 40-day fast like Moses or like the Lord Jesus Christ or like Elijah. I'm not telling you to go on a 40-day fast, but I'm just saying this. It would be good for us to practice saying no to our flesh. I'm learning this the hard way. I go down and sit down at Wendy's and eat my nice salad, and I do what I'm supposed to do, but I've got my glass of water next to me, and I paid for the senior drink, which means I can go to that soda machine and get anything I want to. And I battle the flesh every time. After I'm done, I want to go back up and just fill it with just one Coke. Just one little glass of Coke after I'm done. That's not going to hurt anything. Now, you can say that's not a problem, and I don't have a problem with that. You know, I know Coke is bad for you, but everybody drinks it, and so on. This isn't a debate on whether or not that's good or bad or should. It's the fact of the battling of the flesh, the battling of the will. And we all have that. Now, yours might be a different thing than mine is, but we all have a problem with struggling against the appetites of the flesh. Again, not necessarily sinful, but letting the flesh dictate to us. And we're all guilty of that because this body is so stinking strong. The particulars, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, the carnality. Look back at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You remember what Paul told the church at Corinth. We studied this a year or so ago. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what the problem with the church at Corinth was? They were giving themselves over to the appetites of the flesh. And Paul had to write the whole book of 1 Corinthians, 16 chapters, rebuking them for giving themselves over to the flesh. Even in church, even in the areas of the gifts of the Spirit, they were in the flesh. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither are you now yet able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal?" What's that say? What is that? That's surfeiting. That's giving yourselves over to the appetites of the flesh. Envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? For when one saith, "I am of Paul," and another, "I am of Apollos," are you not carnal? Now they're using a spiritual backdrop for this. Oh, I'm a follower of Paul. Well, I'm a follower of Apollos. Two good men, without doubt. And yet choosing sides about that, that's carnal. Giving over to the appetites of the flesh. Back to Luke chapter 21 and verse 34. "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting," number two, "and drunkenness." Let's call that carousing. That's what the world calls it. Carousing. C-A-R-O-U-S-I-N-G. This is one kind of surfeiting. Not being able to say no to the flesh. We can identify some of those people by their license plates. They've had a problem with that. We can't identify most of them because most of them don't have those license plates. But this is a very common and terrible problem in our day today. Drunkenness. Can I say this, and I'm preaching to the choir, you can't get drunk if you don't take the first drink. And those folks that say, "It's all right to drink a little bit," well, you've just opened the door. You can't get drunk if you don't take the first drink. You can't get addicted to cigarettes if you don't take the first drag. You can't get addicted to drugs if you don't take it the first time. So it's just, say no. But the world has a problem saying no to the flesh, and too many times Christians do too. And they just yield themselves to the things of the flesh. One kind of surfeiting is drunkenness. Alcohol is a curse to mankind. The old-time prophets, Billy Sunday, used to call it the devil's brew. And that's still what it is. I like when we were trying to fight the gas station across the street trying to get alcohol. I asked the Dickinson son, I asked Kirk, to make me up a little map of Bysville and show all the locations that already sell alcohol. And we started from the interstate, and he made a nice color map for me, and started at the interstate and went all the way up here to the drive out there by Wally's Pizza, that drive-through place right there. And he noted each one of those and put like a whiskey bottle with XXX on the, you know, across the front of it. Just made it look as terrible and as bad as you possibly could. And the attorney for the gas station even came and said, "I'm impressed." You know, he wasn't expecting something well thought out, something well presented like that. And he was a little nervous. He thought they'd lose the case, but obviously they didn't. They got the alcohol in there. There's Murphy's Law when there's a buck in it. If it doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it somewhere. But that picture just, it showed all the places in Bysville where you can get it. And it's a shame. To me, the Clark Station, I think it is, right across from the old IGA, is right next to a school. You know, it used to be you couldn't put it within 500 feet or 500 yards, I forget, it was 500 something, of a school building. They got it right next door. That's just a shame on our society today that we have no respect. We have no respect for things like that. So drunkenness is the problem. It's a problem in our day today. But it's a protected problem. That's the problem. It's a protected problem. You know what baffles me? In our modern day, you know, somebody gets shot. Golden Corral in Dublin. Some guy just 2 nights ago walked out with his wife and 6 kids walking out, and apparently it's a robbery. I don't know. Always be careful when you read the news. They're just knee-jerking reaction and telling you first thing that comes to their mind. They don't know why that really happened. And later it'll come out, well, maybe, and I'm not saying it happened, maybe this guy, they did know this guy and they were targeting him. I don't know, but the news just, they're trying to get you to just be glued to them. And so they're going to tell you anything they want to hear to get you to sit in front of the boob tube, as long as, that's what they always used to call it, the dummy box, as long as they can. Just sit there and watch as the developing story comes. Now I'm getting on my soapbox now. Let me get back to this. When that happens, you know what the anti-gun crowd does, don't you? It's the gun's fault. It's the gun's fault. We need to ban the gun. We need to stop the guns. How come they don't say that when somebody's killed by DUI? How come they're not jumping up and down and saying, it's the alcohol's fault. It's the alcohol's problem. We need to ban alcohol. That's hypocritical. Doesn't make any sense. And that's because it's a protected problem. Now they want to protect marijuana. See, that's the direction our world's going. And they told us back in the 70s, marijuana is an introductory drug. It's the street level thing to get you hooked, to get to go to other drugs. And this world is just insane. Lester Roloff, the old preacher, said it back in the 70s. I keep referring to the 70s. He said it probably in the 60s, so we'll go back. He said, America is an insane asylum run by the inmates. And the more you watch what's going on in this world today, you just say, he had it pegged. He had it right 60 years ago, 50 years ago. And the Lord says to us, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness, and let her see the cares of this life. That's the word cares. Carnality, carousing, and cares. Lest we be overtaken with the cares of this life. Now again, drunkenness, I guess, is in its own category, but the cares of this life are not necessarily sinful. It's the responsibilities of this life that become over-important to us, that become the priority in our life over the Lord and His second coming. Now in this world, when you make the Lord your first priority, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. People are going to think you're a religious fanatic. You give too much time to God or to the church or to the Lord or whatever. But the Bible tells us that we need to be careful, take heed, lest we be overcharged with the cares of this life. Look at back in Luke chapter 10. Here's the perfect example of this. And I know you know this example. Luke chapter 10, the Lord comes to the house of Mary and Martha. You know the story. Verse 38 of Luke chapter 10. Came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. We've heard so many sermons on this and studied this so many times. Martha and Mary are both good ladies. They're sisters. They both love the Lord. Mary is more focused on worship, while Martha is more focused on work. Now, that doesn't make Mary wrong because she worshiped and didn't work, but it doesn't make Martha wrong that she worked and didn't worship. There needs to be a balance between both of them. But when it came to the priority, Martha's the one that comes and says to the Lord, Mary doesn't say anything to the Lord. She doesn't complain about Martha. She doesn't say, hey, why don't you tell Martha to sit down and shut up for a little while and just sit here and worship you and sit at your feet. Mary doesn't have that mentality and that attitude. She's worshiping. But Martha is the one that runs over and says to the Lord, and out of the bitterness of her heart and complaint, says, Lord, would you get my sister and tell her to come here and help me in the kitchen? Now, Martha, again, is not a bad lady, but what? She's overcharged. Her heart is overcharged with the cares of this life. What does the Lord say in verse 41? Martha, Martha, thou art careful. What does that word mean? Full of care. Now, folks, can we be honest? We have to be careful. We have to be full of care. We have to live this life. We have to protect our family. We've got to provide for our families. We've got to live in this world. So we have to have some. But the Lord's saying there's a limit on it. There's a cap. There's a cap on it. Thou art careful about many things. All right? She was overcharged. Her heart was overcharged. You say, where's that line? Man, there's no way to determine where that line is. You and I individually in our walk with God have to recognize that line and say, okay, Lord, I'm getting to the part where my heart is overcharged with the cares of this life. I need to back off and worship you more. And the Lord's words to Martha were, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Have you been there? You know what that's like? To be full of care and troubled about many things and try to maintain our walk with God and try to be at peace. Very hard to do. It's easy for us to point the finger at Martha and judge her, but we're all Marthas to a certain extent. And we find ourselves saying, well, you know, get Mary in here, get her doing that. Well, our hearts have been overcharged with the cares of this life. We have human responsibilities. We have to attend to them. But we've got to make time for God our priority. And this world doesn't want to let you make time for God your priority. The devil doesn't want you to make time for God your priority. Your flesh doesn't want you to make time for God your priority. You have to fight tooth and nail to make God your priority. It's a lot easier at the end of a long day to sit down and pick up the remote than it is to sit down and pick up a Bible. It just is. It's easier. Because by that time of the day, you're brain dead. Let's put on something that can accommodate your brain deadness, and that's television. But sitting down and picking up a book and reading, no, that takes mental concept and thought, and so we go to the carnal rather than the spiritual. Again, I'm not judging it. I'm saying we're all built that way. In our flesh, we're designed that way. We have to be careful. The cares of this life. So, the challenge for the precaution. The precept, number one. The particulars, number two. Number three, the purpose. The purpose for the Lord giving this precaution. He says, so that day come among you unawares. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 34, he's saying, the reason you need to take heed to yourselves, the reasons that you need to guard yourself against being overcharged with these three things is because if you don't take heed, if you do give yourself to those, that day will come upon you unawares. Now again, let's put it in the context. Let's put it in the tribulation period. Let's put it in a time where these people are struggling every day to know where their next meals come from because they haven't taken the mark of the beast. They're running for their lives. They're hiding and being hidden by others that are helping them. Put it in the time frame that we're in here, again, to the nation of Israel, the fig tree and all that. And so here is the Jew during the tribulation. And that's where the Lord is speaking right here. Take to yourself. He said, you're full of the cares of this life. Now you talk about cares of this life in that tribulation period when they can't buy or sell, when everything's being taken and they're running for their lives. Of course they're thinking about their next meal. Of course they're thinking about their earthly protection. And the Lord says, in the midst of that, He said, don't be overcome with these things or overcharged, because then that day will come upon you unawares and they won't be ready. That, in that time period, is going to be much more difficult than it is right now in our time period. Most of you don't have to worry about where you're going to eat lunch. You're just worried about which place you want to pick. Are we going to go home or are we going to go out? If we're going to go out, where are we going to go? These people in that day, they don't have that option. They don't have that choice. It was much like when we were over visiting Matt in Congo and many of the mission fields like that. They don't have an evening service Sunday because they go Sunday morning, they walk, many of them come a long way, they come to church, they spend 2 or 3 hours there. Then when they go home, they've got to figure out what they're going to feed their kids after that. They can't run to the store and buy something. They can't run to the restaurant and get anything. There's none of those things around there. They've got to scrape together something to feed a family. That's a concept we're not familiar with in America. We're a blessed nation. And we need to remember that we're a blessed nation. And the problem we don't know that is because too many people haven't been and seen other places like that. We see it on television. We see it on the color flat screen television. While we're sitting in a comfort-controlled room watching people in a non-comfort-controlled setting in some other country where it's hot, where it's sweaty, where it's cold, where it's freezing, where the humidity's high, and they're hungry. And they don't look that bad on television. They really don't. And most of them are wearing Western-style clothes because they've gotten them somehow. They got a Nike t-shirt on. And we look at that and we don't see exactly how bad it is. And the Bible tells us we need to be careful because we're putting our mind on earthly things and that day is going to catch us unaware. What are the two words we need to close? What are the two words that go with the second coming? Watching and waiting. Those are the two words that we read in the Bible. Watching and waiting. Watching for the second coming and waiting. Waiting doesn't mean sitting back on the lazy boy with your arms folded across your chest and waiting for the Lord to come back. No, that biblical kind of waiting means occupying till I come, doing something, but being mindful that the Lord's coming back. The challenge for precaution. Next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll get through the last two in one week, so we'll try that. All right. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the richness of it, as always, and the blessings of it. And Father, make us mindful of it.